Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning to you. Today we are continuing our series, Four Filters for Godly Decisions. And research shows that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. That's a lot of decisions. And if that research is correct, that means that we make one decision every 2 seconds. Out of those decisions, Cornell University has done some research, and they've concluded that 227 of the decisions that we make are about food. Now, I don't know how that math works out. Like, most of us eat about 3 meals a day and a couple snacks. I don't know how we get to 227 decisions, but that's a lot of decisions. We are constantly making decisions. In fact, we make decisions so often, it can lead to something that is known as decision fatigue. Have you ever got to the end of your day and you're like, I'm just done. I don't want to make any decisions. I don't care what we eat for food. Someone makes something and just shovel it in my mouth. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to make a decision. Decision fatigue is a real thing. Research reveals that good decisions require mental energy that gets depleted by repeated decision making, among other things, and impacts decision objectivity and quality. In one study, prisoners who appeared early in the morning before a judge received parole about 70% of the time, while those who appeared before the same judge late in the day were paroled less than 10% of the time. So a couple things from this research. The first thing is that as your day goes on, your ability to make good decisions is depleted. That the further you go in the day, the more tired your brain is, the more fatigue sets in. And so maybe you can relate to this, that you set out on like Monday morning and said, hey, I'm going to follow a diet. I'm going to follow a budget. I'm going to do all these things. And the beginning of your day starts off well, but by the end of the day, you're like, I just don't care. Give me all the carbs. Like, just give me an IV of carbs in my arm. Like, I'm just done making decisions. The second thing that we can notice about this that I think is pretty important is that God forbid you ever have to appear before a judge. But if you do, pray that you go in the morning, because you have a 70% higher time of making parole if you go in the morning than if you do in the afternoon. This is something, though, that is incredibly important for us, because according to one medical doctor, if your brain is worn down, it may cause you to become more reckless with your decision making or not thinking things through. It can also cause you to simply do nothing, which can cause even more problems. Additionally, you might notice that you get angrier with colleagues and families, splurge on clothes, or impulsively buy more junk food. So as your brain gets tired throughout the day, you are more prone to make poor decisions. In fact, some of the times when you get angry with the people in your life, it's not actually because you're angry, and it's not actually because they've done something wrong. It's because your brain is fatigued, that you're upset. You don't have the mental energy to deal with the frustration in a proper way. One other thing that is noted in this that I don't want to move past too quickly is it said that sometimes because of brain fatigue, we can put off decisions. Sometimes putting off decisions ends up being a horrible thing. There's things that we know we have to do, but we're like, I just don't want to deal with that right now. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to make that decisions. This is one of the many reasons why we need decision filters in our brain. Without decision filters, when you go throughout your day, you're going to become fatigued, and you'll end up making decisions that you'll regret the next morning. That you'll make decisions, say, why did I do that? Why did I break what I said I wanted to do? A decision filter is very similar to other filters. You're probably familiar with like an air filter or a water filter or a fuel filter. Filters we put in place, they allow good things to come through and they keep the bad things out. That's what a filter does. And so in our brains, we need some filters in helping us make decisions. When faced with any decision, we mentally place all choices into our decision-making filter. Our filter separates the unwanted choices from the wanted choices. This makes our decisions much easier. So decision-making filters help you. It makes your life easier because you just decide ahead of time. This is what I'm going to do. I've pre-decided. These are the decisions I'm going to make. I'm going to say yes to this. I'm going to say no to that. And Christians are unique because we have different filters than everyone else. A Christian should not look like everyone else. A Christian should not behave like everyone else. A Christian should not make decisions like everyone else, because we have in our brain some filters that we have put in place that help us behave and act more like Jesus. And so last week we kicked off the very first filter. It is the cross filter. This is the first filter for Christians. Following Jesus requires us to evaluate every decision that we make through the filter of the cross. And Jesus said, we looked at this last week, Jesus said that you are to die to yourself daily. It is a daily decision to make decisions for Jesus. So this is how this works out practically. Research shows that when you make a decision ahead of time, when you set a filter in place ahead of time, it actually makes your life easier. So for example, if you struggle going to the gym, like in the morning before work, if you struggle with that, if every morning you're wrestling with it, you want to do it, but then you wake up the next morning like, I don't feel like doing it. Research shows that if you pre-decide the night before and you set out clothes the night before, you are way higher likely to actually go to the gym than if you just wake up the next morning and decide, should I go or should I not? Pre-planning, literally the night before, helps you make better decisions. It's the same thing with meal prep. If any of you have ever done meal prep, that when you meal prep, it's a little bit of hard work, but it makes it easier to make the right decision when it comes time to eat something. When you set a budget for your finances, it can be a little bit of hard work, but it is pre-planning ahead of time so that when your energy is low and your mental capacity is low and you want to randomly buy these shoes that you probably don't need, the filter is in place to say, we don't budget. We haven't budgeted for that. I can't spend that money. When you pre-plan ahead of time, it helps you make decisions that you ultimately want to make. And so the cross filter is the decision to follow Jesus. And last week, one of the things we mentioned is that it's incredibly difficult to die to yourself if you don't pick up your Bible on a regular basis. And having the Bible and prayer as a part of your life is a big part of learning how to follow Jesus. And so here's how this works as a filter in place. If you pre-decide the night before, a part of my morning routine is spending time with God in prayer and in reading the Bible, it's going to help you make that right decision the next morning. Every morning I get up, I have to get up out of bed by 4:30 in the morning in order to get to the gym by 5. It is a very ungodly time. It is very difficult. It's not an easy thing to do, but pre-deciding ahead of time allows me to do that. So I know that I have to get out of bed by 4:30. That means that if I want to spend some time in prayer and reading the Bible, I've got to set my alarm not at 4:30. I've got to set my alarm at 4:20 to make sure that I have some time. If you pre-plan ahead of time, it makes your decisions so much easier. Your morning routine would change if you just said, hey, it's important for me to spend some time with God every day. So before I get out of bed, before I check another social media app, let me pre-plan for this. Let me set some time. If I have to get up by 7, let me set my alarm for 6:50. Give myself some time. When you pre-plan ahead of time, you put that filter in place, it helps you make the right decision. And this leads to the second filter, which I'm going to give you right now. The second filter out of the four is the gospel filter. The gospel filter. Now, I want to encourage you to take some notes today. I would encourage you to write something down, something that sticks out to you or something you might want to remember. In fact, I would encourage you to create the habit of pre-planning to bring something to take notes with every single week. The reason that it is incredibly important to take notes is that research shows that literally writing down can help your brain engage and can help you remember the things that are important. But it also helps you because you're going to forget about a lot that is said today. And when you have some notes or have the ability to go back, you can revisit it when you've forgotten it. So encourage you to take some notes today as you listen along. Our scripture that's going to give us our filter comes from 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 23. It is written by the Apostle Paul, and he writes it to a group of dysfunctional Christians living in an area called Corinth, and he is going to give us our second filter. But at Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet. So I invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 23. When we get the reference, 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 23, you'll see two dots. And we like to have a little bit of fun. We just pump our fists and say dot, dot. And I want to invite you to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. 1 Corinthians 9, dot, dot, 22 through 23. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? And I want to give you a moment to talk to God quietly in your heart. I want to invite you to pray a prayer that I pray often. God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few seconds just quietly talking to God in your heart? And God, we do ask that you would speak to us today. But help us to be people who don't just hear the word of God, but do what it says. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I want to break down our text for us, and we're going to read the whole thing, and then I'll stop and explain it as we go. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 23, Paul starts off by saying, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Now, I'm not going to break this down or explain this until the end of the message. We're actually going to skip forward to the second part of this verse, because it's crucial for understanding this verse. The second part has some words underlined. When we get there, would you humor me and just read the underlined words out loud? The scripture goes on to say, I do all this, this is your part, for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So Paul says that he does all this, that he, the filter he has in his mind is the gospel. It is a filter that allows him to know how to treat various people. It's a filter that he puts in place that allows him to make decisions, that he does everything for the gospel. It is an incredibly important filter. But the gospel is something that, it's a churchy word that maybe if you grew up in church, you've heard it mentioned before. In fact, there's a whole genre of music called gospel. Maybe you're familiar with it. Or the first four books of the New Testament are called the gospels. The gospel, the word, it is from the Greek, and it is a word that literally means good news. When Paul says gospel, he's not talking about music. He's not talking about the first four books of the New Testament. When Paul says gospel, this is what he's talking about. And this is where you could take notes if you're so inclined. When Paul says gospel, he is meaning that we are spiritually dead without Jesus, but made spiritually alive through his death, burial, and resurrection. So we are spiritually dead without Jesus, but we're made spiritually alive through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This is incredibly important for Christians. This is not just a message that you hear one time. This is not just something that you believe one time. This is not just the starting point of our faith. This is our faith. This isn't just a message. It is the message that the whole foundation and everything in our faith is the gospel. The gospel is so incredibly important. It will help you learn how to deal with yourself, and it will also help you learn how to deal with each other. So the cross is the first filter. The second filter is the gospel. And if you don't get the gospel, you will never truly understand what it means to live for Jesus. It is incredibly, incredibly important. I don't know if you're on social media or not, but if you are, there's a chance that you saw a clip that went viral of a Scottish pastor named Alistair Begg, and he does an amazing job of explaining the gospel. And we're going to watch this clip. And before we get there, there's a couple disclaimers I want to give you. Number one, it starts off a little slow. It's not a long clip, but it starts off a little slow, but it picks up, and I promise you it's going to be really good. The second thing that I want to let you know is that he has a Scottish accent, and it's amazing. I can't wait for you to hear him talk. I could listen to him talk all day. Check this out.
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You'd never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said, you know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, did you, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get their supervisor in. So we're just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That's why Luther says most of your Christian life is outside of you in this sense. That we know that we're not saved by good works. We're not saved as a result of our professions, but we're saved as a result of what Christ has achieved.
Yeah. So he said so many things, and he said them so well. Like, I wish I had his accent. I would just listen to myself talk all day. But one of the things that I want to focus on and highlight, and it's going to come up on the screen for you, is he said, if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day, every day, I find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. The gospel is an incredibly important filter because if you do not remind yourself of the gospel every single day, multiple times a day, you will start to trust the wrong filters. There are filters that we have in place that you probably use these filters and say these filters. Our culture definitely says them on a regular basis. Filters like trust your gut. What does your gut tell you to do? I just have a gut instinct. Go with your gut. Well, I'll tell you, I trust my gut a lot. It leads me to think about food 227 times a day. Don't trust your gut. Your gut, you need a different filter than your gut. Or what about the heart? People always say, what does your heart tell you to do? You just need to go with your heart. You know what Scripture says about the heart? The Scripture says our hearts are deceptive, that our hearts lie to us, that our hearts literally tell us to do things that are not in our best interest. Don't listen to your heart. You need a different filter. Literally think about it. If one of your filters is lying to you, that's not the filter you want to trust. You don't say your heart. You don't go with what your heart says. The gospel is one of the only things, if not the only thing, that is like a mirror for your soul that will let you know, hey, listen, you're lying to yourself. You're rationalizing things. You're justifying things. You're making excuses. The gospel is the only thing that will say, no, 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 you're a dirty, rotten sinner in need of Jesus, and you need to think about that all the time, every day. What about experiences? Experiences is a filter that a lot of people use. We make decisions on what we should do based off our experiences. I remember that when my wife and I, is our second year of marriage, we moved to Fort Worth, Texas for me to go to seminary. And when we arrived in Texas, her friend groups at school, she was a teacher, and my friend groups in seminary, they always talked about this restaurant. And it was a restaurant that we did not have in Virginia at the time. It was a newer restaurant, and they talked about it like it was the greatest thing on earth. Like they talked about it like it was the promised land. They talked about it so much that pretty early on in our stay in Texas, my wife and I made a decision to go on a date to this restaurant. The restaurant's named Chipotle. We'd never heard of it. They didn't have them in Virginia at the time. And so I had expected, the way people talked about this, I expected that Chipotle was going to be a sit-down restaurant with waiters. It was going to be a nice restaurant. Like my wife and I, we actually dressed up to go on date night because we didn't know what to expect. And when we walked into Chipotle, I looked around and I was like, what in the world? Like, this is like a Mexican Subway. Like, I don't understand. Like, this is not what I was expecting. And I ordered the tacos the very first time at Chipotle, and I ate them. I don't remember what my wife got, but I remember both of us at the end of our meal, we were like, it's all right. Like, we don't understand the fuss. Like, we don't know why everyone is, like, so gaga about this place. Like, it's just fine. I could take it or leave it. I will not crave this food. I won't ask to go back. I won't fight someone if they want to go there, but it's just fine. The problem is that my friend group, they would go out to eat almost every Wednesday after class, and they love Chipotle. And so if I wanted to hang out with them after class, I found myself going back to Chipotle. And the second time I went to Chipotle, I got a bowl. And I remember just thinking, it's so weird. Like, there's these green things in the white rice. Like, I don't know what those green things are. It doesn't look appealing to me. And I ate the bowl, and I was like, hey, it's fine. Like, it's just okay. It's nothing special about this place. It's like kind of like expensive fast food. I didn't get it. But then to hang out with my friends, I went a third time. And the third time, I got a burrito. And the third time, after I took a bite out of that burrito, can I just tell you that I had a spiritual experience? It was like I met Jesus in that Chipotle that day. It changed my life. I'm not exaggerating. It changed my life. I went from being like, I don't care about this place. It's not that good. I don't understand it, to literally becoming my favorite place. Now, if I allowed my experiences to dictate decisions, I would have said, you know what? It's just fine. I'm never going to go back there. It's nothing special. Have you ever made a decision and just said no to something, but then later changed your mind and said that was actually good? Our experiences lie to us. Something I tell my kids, I try to teach them this and tell them all the time, is don't lead with no. If you're leading with no, you're going to miss out on so many good things. If we offer you something great and you're like, I don't really know, just trust it's probably going to be good for you. Don't trust your past experiences. Don't trust your gut. Don't trust your heart. Like, have a different filter in place. So often in our life, we miss out on things because we're trusting the wrong things. The gospel comes in and says, hey, listen, you need to be careful trusting yourself because you are a fallen, broken creature, and you'll make selfish decisions. But the gospel filter doesn't just change the way that you think about yourself. It changes the way you interact with other people. Because not only are you a broken, sinful creature, every person that you know is a fallen, broken, sinful creature. Everybody you know. So it changes the way that you interact with others. You become less judgmental when you think about the gospel. Because if someone falls or makes a mistake, you can have grace to say, you know what? If it weren't for the gospel, if it weren't for Jesus, I would be in your same situation. Years ago, a pastor contacted me and he wanted to meet with me. And I didn't know why he wanted to meet. I just thought it was just to connect. And he picked IHOP to go to. And IHOP, I don't know how you feel about breakfast food places, but I like breakfast food places. I think IHOP has it right, though, because everything that they give you, you can get a side of pancakes. And I think that's pretty cool. Like, you get an omelet with a side of pancakes. You get a cheeseburger, you can get a side of pancakes. When you go to Waffle House, nothing comes with a side of waffle. Like, you have to order that extra. I like the side of pancakes. So we met at, that has nothing to do with anything. It's a side note. It's free. So we met at IHOP, and we're sitting at IHOP, and I had an omelet with a side of pancakes. And our food comes, and he leans in, and he says, there's a specific reason that I wanted to meet with you today. And he said, I've never told anyone this. I haven't even told my wife. We've been married for over 20 years. My kids don't know, and my church doesn't know. But ever since I was a teenager, I have struggled with same-sex attraction, and I've never felt confident or comfortable telling someone, and I wanted to tell you today because I feel like you're a safe person that I could tell. And when he told me, I said, thank you for telling me. And I didn't offer him any judgment. I didn't put him down. I didn't even act shocked. And he said, how can you not be shocked? Like, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm married. How come you're not shocked? And I said, I cannot relate to your sin, but because of the gospel, I know that I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and I know about my sin. And I offer you no judgment today, because even though I don't struggle with your sin, I know the struggle of my sin. I know what it's like to say I love Jesus, but yet still struggle with something. I know what it's like to say, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus and then make decisions that aren't honoring to God. I know what that's like. And the gospel tells me every day that the reason that I've got to fight these battles and the reason that I struggle with this is because I'm a sinful, fallen creature, that my heart deceives me, my gut deceives me, my experiences deceive me, that I need Jesus every single day to make the right decisions. And that's why this filter is so incredibly important. The gospel filter, that you put it in place, it helps you pre-decide, okay, is this a decision that's honoring to God, or am I leaning into my fallenness? Am I leaning into my brokenness? The gospel is incredibly important for us. And when you preach the gospel to yourself daily, it is a filter that you put in place that helps you make godly decisions. So I want to go back to our text now, because I told you I would get back to the beginning part of the verse. And so I want to look at it again. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 23. Paul starts off by saying, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Now, as a recovering people pleaser, when I first read that verse, it catches my attention, because I think, well, Paul, you're being a people pleaser, and like you're changing things based off trying to win people. But when you read Paul's letters and when you understand Paul's intent, what you learn is that Paul's not trying to do anything because he's trying to please people. He's trying to do everything to please Jesus. And because he's trying to please Jesus, he puts the gospel in place. And the gospel literally is a filter that helps him know how to interact with the various people that he talks to. The gospel, it helps him become like a good coach. I don't know if you played sports or not, but there tends to be two different types of coaches in sports. There's a coach who says, this is the game plan, we're going to run it no matter what. And then there's the coach who says, yeah, we have a game plan, but we're going to adopt it based off who we're playing. We're going to change the strategy. That this team has an X factor. This team has something different, so we're going to adapt. We're going to adjust what we do. Paul says that the gospel is such a strong filter in his life that as a coach, he adjusts the way that he interacts with people based off the gospel. That if he meets someone and they don't have the gospel and they don't know Jesus, he interacts with them differently than if they do have the gospel. If you meet someone who doesn't know Jesus, you don't hold them to the same standards as a Christian. You shouldn't be shocked when someone without Jesus makes a decision that's not honoring to God. They don't have that filter in place. So Paul, instead of judging them, he puts it in the filter of the gospel, and he says, this person needs Jesus. And I want to try to find a way to tell them about Jesus, because if it weren't for the gospel, if it weren't for Jesus, I would be making the same decision that they're making. And when you deal with a Christian, you deal with it through the lens of the gospel. If a Christian is making a decision that's not honoring to God, you don't come at them with judgment. You come at them with love, and you come at them with understanding, and you come at them with understanding that they've forgotten the gospel. And so you point them back to the gospel. That Paul says literally every relationship, he alters it based on the gospel. It is such a powerful filter that it actually changes the way that he interacts with people. Without the gospel, we want all people to become all things to us. With the gospel, we can learn to become all things to all people. Do you see the difference? Without the gospel, I want everyone to cater to my needs. Without the gospel, I'm really selfish, and I get upset when people don't do what I want them to do. But with the gospel, it is such a powerful filter that I change my perspective, and I say, okay, it's not about me. It's about putting others ahead of me. It's about treating other people the way that Jesus has treated me. The gospel is a filter that you think about every single day. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 23, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. The filter of the gospel allows you to participate in some amazing blessings. Because when you put the filter of the gospel in place in your own brain, you get the blessing of living for Jesus. And when you put the filter of the gospel in your own brain, you get the blessing of telling other people about Jesus. And the only way that we can ever experience life change in our own lives or see other people experience life change is with the gospel. And so when you preach it to yourself, you see that your life starts to change because you're thinking about the gospel. And when you preach it to others, you see that their life changes because of the gospel. And you get to participate in the blessings of life change through the gospel. So may we be a people that meditates and thinks and repeats the gospel daily. May we understand that this isn't a filter that we just hear one time, but it's something we put in place over and over again. May we understand that the gospel is not the starting point of our faith, but it is our faith. May we become less judgmental, because if it weren't for the grace of God, we would be just as bad of a sinner as they are. May we constantly remind ourselves of the gospel and receive the good news that Jesus came and died for sinners like me. We pray with me. God, we come before you and we just thank you that you our God who saves, that you're so powerful, you can redeem dead things, that you redeem our dead spiritual lives, that you redeem our brokenness, God, that you fix and change things, that you don't leave us dead in our sins, but you make us alive through your death, burial, and resurrection. And so we ask that you would just stir new things, that you would stir our hearts, that you would help us to live for and remind ourselves of the gospel, that we would put this filter in place to help us make decisions that are honoring to you. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.